Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1668, air date March 16th, 2026.
You're listening to Worldwide on the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show. This is Wealthy Wednesdays, and on Wealthy Wednesdays, we always have our regular contributor, Dr. P.L. Da Silva, who has over 20 years of experience of backroom diplomacy, mediation, and negotiation. He has taught politics, international relations, and several graduate and undergraduate programs at universities in New York, New Jersey, Long Island, and Queen's University of Belfast in Northern Ireland. Dr. Da Silva's publications include Postmodern Insurgencies, Political Violence, Identity Formation, Peacemaking, and Comparative Perspective. And just before I bring on P.L. and our guest, I want to share this little note with you about P.L. Da Silva. P.L. is a professor extraordinaire, a very serious scholar. And what I found so fascinating when I had the first opportunity of meeting P.L. was and is his desire to get out of the classroom, not to leave it permanently, but to give voice to protest, to give voice to resistance. And behind the lectern of a classroom for P.L. Da Silva was not enough. P.L. said, I'm going to spend my time on the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show sharing with people of goodwill, people of good conscience, what's going on in the world. And we've learned so much weekly by his experience. P.L., welcome forward to the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show.
Thank you very much, Jesse. You're too kind.
I'm so glad that you're here. And Dr. Shiva is also here. Dr. Shiva Ayyadare, MIT PhD, the inventor of email, a candidate for U.S. president, and polymath, holds 4 degrees from MIT and is a world-renowned systems scientist. He's a Fulbright Scholar, Lemelson MIT Award finalist, first outstanding scientist and technologist of Indian origin, Westinghouse Science Talent Honors Award recipient, and was nominated for the U.S. National Medal of Technology and Innovation. In 1982, the U.S. government recognized Dr. Ayyadure as the inventor of email by awarding him the first copyright for email at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. Dr. Shiva, welcome forward to the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show.
Great to be here, Jesse. Hope you're well.
I think, P.L., I want to start with Dr. Shiva on this question of the U.S. role in the world, in part, in large measure, because of the very nature of the alienation and the mismanagement of our diplomatic affairs in the country. We have about a minute and 45 seconds before we come forward. I know we'll pick up on this and other questions, but Dr. Shiva, can you speak to us about U.S. alienation?
Well, I think the United States, Jesse, I think we spoke briefly about it before, and we have to differentiate the United States from the people versus what I call the swarm, the billionaire swarm. Their interests are very different than the working class in the United States, which is essentially imperial domination. And they've taken two tacks to do that. One approach was, you go and invade other countries during the Kennedy administration, but you soften it with USAID and Peace Corps, those kind of things. But in the Trump administration, the same thing is being carried out without the veneer of being humanitarian. And that's what we're seeing right now. So it's just out and outright rabid imperialism. And when we come back to talk about this, imperialism serves two interests because it creates a flow of refugees coming to the United States who then get essentially put under massive amounts of fear into this quote-unquote illegal immigration process. And that gives them a flow of new blood, new labor, cheap labor. And as I'll talk about, I have a new book coming out called Deportation Theater. And both wings of the establishment, be it Obama or to Trump, have been using that influx of immigration to act like they want to fight, quote unquote, illegal immigration. But what we'll realize is that the reality is that it's actually being used to divide the white worker from the immigrant and non-white workers, to suppress wages, to divide workers. And ultimately, what's happening is to build a police state right here in the United States. So it's alienation abroad, but also the creation of a surveillance and police state in the United States.
I'm Jesse Jackson Jr. Very fascinating conversation we're going to have today with Dr. Shiva and P.L. Da Silva. More when we come forward on KBLA Talk 1580. Our very special guest on Wealthy Wednesdays Worldwide with P.L. Da Silva is none other than Dr. P.L. Da Silva, And he's brought with him Dr. Shiva Ayadure, a MIT PhD and the inventor of email. And just before the break, Dr. Shiva, we were talking about imperialism, and I think you suggested that imperialism, by definition, creates fear abroad, which creates an influx of immigrants domestically, but then terror here at home, once they do come to these shores, I guess because of the black and brown nature of their skin, they're easily identifiable, leads to cheap labor. Can you finish, can you further expound upon that?
Yeah, I think if you really look at this, Jesse, one of the important things is that both wings of the establishment are funded by a billionaire trillionaire swarm. And people want to understand that, then go to shatterthe swarm.com, where I define this decentralized multiracial group of elites. And in the United States, you have about 900 billionaires. That swarm funds and makes money off the military industrial complex. So that's one way that they make wealth, which means their wealth is directly tied into having continual imperialist wars. So these imperialist wars take place, and that billionaire swarm obviously gets very, very wealthy. If you just take California, a blue state, it's got 199 billionaires. And if you, that's a blue state. And if you look at Texas and Florida, let's call that Texas, Florida, a red state, that has about 200 billionaires. The combined wealth there is close to about $3.7 trillion. That swarm makes significant money through funding and making investments in the military-industrial complex. Now, that leads, as I stated earlier, to refugees coming in. As you said, non-whites, immigrants who come in, and under tremendous pressure, and as a part of that, when they do come in, and there's 14 million of those undocumented workers in the United States, they'll take jobs under all sorts of conditions, slave wages, low wages. And what's fascinating is, the billionaire swarm funds, be it Obama to Trump, to try to talk tough on immigration. So that tough on immigration, if you really look at the data for the last 30 years, and if you actually look at it, the evidence is there, at best, 1% to 4% of these quote unquote illegal immigrants are deported. And there's various things we could talk about, the nuances. Trump did about 4%, Obama did around 4%. But the white workers are really the target of this manipulation because they are led to believe immigration is being fought, and concomitantly, they have great resentment against these non-white immigrants coming in. But the net of it is this engineered illegality lowers wages not only for the illegal immigrants, but also for the white workers. And on top of it, the white workers get doubly screwed because they are out of their resentment. They do not unite with the non-white or immigrant workers to unify to fight the swarm. So it's quite a very fascinating operation that's being done. So outwardly, it seems like people are fighting immigration, but the reality is this process leads to dividing workers, suppressing wages, and white workers really need to look at this because it has significantly affected them. Mm. It's sort of white on white crime, because those 400 billionaires just in those three states, 70%, 80% are white, but they are multiracial. So the billionaire swarm does something quite fascinating. They are united regardless of being multiple races, multiple religion, but they work very hard to make sure white workers and the broad mass of the American workers are divided. And every iteration that they do of this, Jesse, using something called ICE, so the white workers think, you know, they're getting enforcement, but in reality, that enforcement infrastructure leads to a greater and greater surveillance police state. And by the way, this has been going on for 400 years. It's not new.
I do want to bring Peel in the conversation. Peel, Dr. Shiva held no punches back when he said that both Democrats and Republicans, either Obama or Trump, are both taking advantage of the same kind of open revolving door policy that is imperialism abroad and a kind of domestic wage suppressing labor here at home. And Dr. Shiva goes even one step further. It says that essentially working class and poor whites are stuck right there in the middle. Dr. Silva?
Definitely. I mean, this is, I mean, I tell my students all the time that the immigration system is fixed. It's fixed to bring in, you know, immigrant labor, and they use the term illegal. And these people work for a pittance. And you look at all the construction jobs, you know, don't listen to me, just look at all the construction jobs. Who are the main bulk of people who are working in the construction industry? They're mostly from Central and South America. And this is a huge issue. And it's not something that's going away. So the slave trade has been supplanted by bringing in immigrants. You know, as Dr. Shiva said, you know, you create a ruckus in Central America, South America, and you have all these refugees coming in, you know, Afghanistan, Somalia, wherever, right? And this is the bulk of the working labor force in the United States. And it's I mean, we don't have the slave trade anymore, but we have illegal migration. And look at all the people who are also making money from these privately owned, you know, jails and penitentiaries. The sheriffs are involved, the CBP is involved, ICE is involved. The judges are involved. Everybody's elected. Everybody gets a backhander. I mean, somebody should do a serious, thorough forensic investigation of all the corruption involved. You know, the racism and the class warfare that Dr. Shiva talked about, you know, race and class, and the complicity of the authorities, of people who have power along the border and in places where migrants are locked up. And to see how the owners of these mechanisms of power, the levers of power, are making money hand over fist and getting rich, literally over the backs of poor people.
I'm thinking in this moment that that there's also an education gap, Dr. Shiva, between working class whites who've not graduated from college, have had no formal institutionalized education and training, who this part of the dialogue and conversation about the revolving door of imperialism isn't something that they've given much thought to. I mean, it just boils down to them that there is a South American coming to the United States that somehow is displacing them. Or what Dad said in 1984 and 1988, he talked about a campaign for public office in North Carolina. I think it was the Harvey Gantt or Senate campaign. And Harvey Gantt was actually winning in that race. He was winning, Dr. DeSilva, on all of the Rainbow Coalition platforms, reaching out, urban, rural, Greensboro, Charlotte, Winston-Salem, winning the big cities, doing a lot of work. And Harvey Gantt was just that kind of guy. He was the mayor of a major city in North Carolina. And in the last 3 weeks, I think it was Jesse Helms, put up a commercial of two white hands shaking hands. And then all of a sudden a black hand comes and it's a black hand shaking the white hand. And the insinuation was that if you elect Harvey Gantt, your job is going to become or be taken by a black man and you're not going to get the opportunity. That Harvey Gantt is a threat to the deal that we have to keep you employed. And that's called the strong black hand theory. Harvey Gantt ran against that, but that was the negative attack ad that was used on him. And in this moment, as I think about what Dr. Shiva is suggesting, the manipulation, Dr. Shiva, for working class and poor whites in this revolving Democratic and Republican scheme has probably reached its zenith now. Dr. Shiva?
Yeah, I think the big lie that white Americans have been told is that immigrants are stealing your jobs and lowering your wages. The reality, the truth is, it's white on white crime. It is white billionaires who are screwing over poor white people. And in fact, you know, you can look at the 900 billionaires in the United States, 75%, 80% are white. So when you just look at the economics, it is white on white crime. the left Democrats will talk about what's going on with the poor black, brown person, yellow person. And that creates resentment among the whites. The right wing Republicans make the white person feel like they're supreme, right? White supremacy. So that makes them feel good, but they're getting screwed over. And so the white American worker is actually getting screwed in multiple ways, economically, mentally. Also, so it's quite fascinating when you actually look at the data. What's even more interesting is when you look at the fact that if you take Texas and Florida, which are deep red states, they have close to 3.7 million undocumented workers. Okay? And California has 2.3 million. So why are you going over to Minneapolis and starting a ruckus? Right? So this is deportation theater. And I put together a quick book on this because I think there's a huge opportunity to educate white workers on this. And when they realize this, I think karma is going to be pretty swift for the white billionaire swarm, because this is what is taking place in the United States. White people, the poor white working class, is being massively abused by the likes of Peter Thiel. And by the way, Elon Musk talks a big game as though he's against illegal immigration, but through subcontractors, that's how, you know, the allegations have come out. That's how undocumented workers were used to build facilities in Texas for him, as well as Jeff Bezos, both sides. So that when you really just look at the data, you know, construction, 40% of, if you look at Texas construction, illegal immigrants, 50% of farm workers, California, 65% of hotel workers in Florida. So the entire operation, by the way, if you got rid of all the undocumented workers in the United States, it would be far greater than the recession of 2008. So there's no interest that the billionaire swarm, red or blue, has in ever addressing the immigration problem.
So why the blue states? Why the blue states? Why are they here enforcing immigration and not enforcing it in areas that are far closer to home?
Well, the enforcement issue is all theater. So Obama was called deporter in chief, if you remember. Right? He did it as a nice office manager, very diplomatically. Okay? Trump just does it as a movie director. Okay? Just different tactics.
Oh, wow.
You should have taken.
Oh, wow. One is a movie director and one is just a great manager.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, they were both funded by the same billionaire swarm. If you look at the Uline family, you know, they talk a big game against immigration, but the their operation is run, you know, needs illegal immigrants. So basically the billionaire swarm just funds one, either wing at the White House to perpetuate this myth that they're fighting immigration just to keep the white working class appeased. But the reality is the entire US swarm economy would completely collapse if you actually enforced quote unquote immigration. But what it's doing is you get, I mean, look, when my dad came here from India, which is again, a country that was suppressed by colonialism, the best minds left. My dad was a great engineer. He was being paid one third, Jesse, of the wages of his white counterpart. Okay. Now he took it because it was better being here than going to India. But ultimately, even his white counterpart, who mentally thought he was better than my dad, his wages are suppressed. So if he was making $13,000 a year, the other guy's making 30, well, maybe their wages really should be 80 or 90 if they both united, you know, in a broad workers movement, you know, with true bottoms up unions. But that's the end goal, to ensure that the white worker, the brown worker, the yellow worker do not unite. And if you look back at, I think, 1600s, there was a time when black workers and white settlers united, and that was called Bacon's Rebellion. And since that time, racism has been engineered. It's weaponized to make sure the broad working class never unites against their real enemy, which is today the billionaire swarm.
I'm Jesse Jackson Jr., listening to the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show on KBLA Talk 1580. Dr. Shiva Ayurare is our very special guest on Worldwide with P.L. Da Silva. Obviously, we're going to have more when we come forward. We're going to talk about the fragmentation of healthcare and its industry, and the overwhelming power of healthcare industry, which is a huge contributing factor, plus the unfounded policies pushed by HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. I'm Jesse Jackson Jr. More when we come forward with two geniuses on the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show. Jesse Jackson Jr. Show and our very special contributor worldwide with P.L. Da Silva and our very special guest, Dr. Shiva Ayudare. P.L., welcome forward to the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show.
Thank you, Jesse.
P.L., listen, you're noticing, before we get to the fragmentation of the healthcare industry, you're noticing that some things are happening in the electorate.
Particularly
yes. Putting out a state house seat in the state of Louisiana.
Exactly. So this is what's happening, and this is what I would say the writing on the wall. And if the Republican Party and President Trump are not cognizant or not taking note of it, they will certainly face the reality during the midterm elections. I have said many times that the Republican Party is going to get creamed at the midterm elections. They're going to get smashed. They're going to lose control of the House and the Senate. The point is that whether the Democrats are up to doing what is required of them, or are they going to be no-can-do Democrats? That's the problem. The problem is that both parties are found wanting. Trump and his cronies are egregious, certainly. But the Democrats are not too far behind. They are more silent and not in your face.
So let me ask you this question, because I think we can get a lot out of this segment. I'm thinking that people are voting against Trump, and they're not, what I'm hearing you say is that people are voting against Trump, but they're not necessarily voting for Democrats. So yes. They're wanting, meaning, P.L., what is your best thinking on what the Democratic message should be in this environment?
We need good people like yourself, you know, to come into Congress and to make a change, that we will have progressive people who cannot stand what's happening to this country, and that they will band together and be united, that's very important, to fight the swarm, as Dr. Shiva has been saying. But if there's no unity, there's no strength for the fight.
So I appreciate the endorsement, but I'm going to press you, P.L., because I'm just a personality, and there are a number of personalities running in 435 congressional districts across the country and hundreds of other local races. What is the message? Is there a unifying message? I mean, I'm not discussing the Democratic Party's talking points, but the Democratic Party, as you correctly observe, is only a few points higher than the Republican Party, which isn't saying very much. We've heard Mamdani in New York talk about affordability. We saw the candidate in New Jersey and the candidate in Virginia also make the case for affordability. But affordability can quickly become a cliche that's not tied to, I'm hearing you say, authentic leadership and authentic personalities of what? Teachers who need to run for higher office, of parents and mothers who are experienced.
Students, lawyers, I mean, all of the above. But what's most important is that we need a manifesto, a proper platform, a plan of action. You saw what the Heritage Foundation did, preparing the way for the Trump, dictatorship, I would call it now. The Democrats don't have anything near that sophisticated or in-depth. And we need progressive Democrats running that, and not the same old tired Democrats that we've been seeing on our screens over and over again.
Dr. Shiva, let me just say this, because I'm in total agreement with PL that we need an alternative. Whether we like it or not, there is going to be a new president in 2028, at least we hope there will be, unless Trump cancels the election or finds a way to stay in power, which would be abysmal. I'm wondering, and I think we're going to have to come to some terms, that there is going to be an imperial Democratic presidency. There just is. Because to undo the Trump era is going to require some unilateral actions just to return to normal, PL. This is not incrementalism, what he has done in the first year. And the first year of a Democratic administration, rehiring people, reestablishing institutions of education, of USAID, of the soft power. I mean, these things are going to require a a bull, if you will, in a glass factory in the Washington that Trump has created in order just to right the ship. But I don't see any Democrats on the horizon, Dr. Shiva. And I know that you're mounting a campaign for presidency that's going to come to the White House with an alternative to what we're hearing. Dr. Shiva?
Yeah, two things, Jesse. You know, my position on this actually started in 1984 when your dad ran, if you remember the Rainbow Movement. And then he was in many ways forced by the Democrats, right? Because Reagan was a bigger threat, right? So the movement was in many ways put on the back burner by the force of the Democratic swarm at the time. But my view was it is bottoms up movements. See, let's go back to fundamentals. What has ever changed the world? It has always been bottoms up movements. When you're born into this world and you come to a point and you realize you don't like the way things are, the swarm, the establishment, only gives the young 18-year-old two choices. Go run for Congress, right? The electoralism, or become a lawyer and fight. Now, I've done both, but to the extent you do both, if it's not done with a bottoms-up movement, you're going to be compromised. So in Massachusetts, we ran initially against Elizabeth Warren, then we ran as maverick Republicans. Both wings of the establishment didn't like us because we were independent. But by running, we exposed a lot of things. So the goal, I think, Jesse, is why do you participate in this electoral process? My view is it's about building a bottoms-up movement, a workers' consciousness bottoms-up. If it is to just run to win, you're going to be obviously compromised. And whether it's a Democrat or Republican, let's be honest, it's not, you can't really, the correction of this ship is minor tweaks. You know, we're realizing what's occurring with the Epstein files. Both wings were involved with this guy, okay? It's a swarm. And they bring us into their theater of left and right. But the only way things have ever changed, if you look at the great upheaval of the 1800s, the bottoms-up movements in the 1900s, most people don't even know that four American workers were hanged in the United States for fighting for the 8-hour work day in 1886. And it is those movements that gave rise to any of the gains that we have. It was not, I'm sorry, it wasn't FDR that, helped workers. It was bottoms up movements, which put the fear of God into those in power. And what we're witnessing with Trump is the Democrats have capitulated. There is really no agenda, right? Except a few things. So it was very easy for Trump to galvanize people. And I think this was by design. So there's no quote unquote correction here, except building a bottoms up movement with fundamental principles. Now, we've been doing that here and globally, and we call it truth, freedom, health. You have to integrate, and I think this will lead probably into the health issues. There has to be real freedom of transferring information, matter, and energy at a broad level. But fundamentally, how do you actually do real science, and how do you get to real health? These are the fundamentals, and it cannot be done top down anymore.
I'm Jesse Jackson Jr., listening to the Jesse Jackson Jr. Show. More with our very special guest, Dr. Shiva Ayyadure and P.L. De Silva, when we come forward. Jesse Jackson Jr. Show and Worldwide with P.L. De Silva and our very special guest, Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, the inventor of the email. I should probably thank Dr. Shiva for allowing the ability to send an email for free. Because if there were a way in the United States for us to have to put a stamp on an email, we probably would be in more than an affordability crisis here in the United States. So, Dr. Shiva, thank you for your thoughtfulness and this major contribution that you made to humanity with the invention of the email. I'd like to ask a question, if you don't mind, P.L. Let me start with Dr. Shiva, this being our final segment, on the fragmentation of the healthcare industry and the overwhelming power of the healthcare industry. And some of the policies that have been advanced by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy. Dr. Shiva, your thoughts on where we are in terms of the nation's health?
Yeah, so I have interacted with Mr. Kennedy, and it's unfortunate because in 2020, if you actually look back at it, the public was in the middle of COVID, the chaos of COVID, people were really starting to ask fundamental questions about health. And in the middle of that uprising in consciousness on some level. Kennedy was promoted as some anti-establishment person fighting or bringing some solutions. The reality is that Kennedy created a false dialectic of pro-vax versus anti-vax, right? The pro-vax, anti-vax narrative. And I did a bunch of videos early on at that time, in fact, as early as 2019, educating people to think beyond vax and anti-vax, that we have to really focus on a systems approach to the body. And the body is actually quite a resilient phenomenon, and that notion of the immune system. And Kennedy never really addressed that. He rather manipulated the situation there's a lot of monetary stuff we can go into how he monetized it. But fundamentally, he manipulated the rising consciousness of people to act as though he was going to fundamentally change things. But when you really, go behind the curtain, Kennedy's really what I call the not so obvious establishment. Albert Bourla thanked him immensely at the White House, you know, from Big Pharma. Kennedy acts like he is doing things for safety, but what he's actually doing is consolidating power, profit, and control for Big Pharma as never before, with a veneer of acting as though he's fighting for health interests. And we can go more deeper into this, but that's what's actually taking place. He's created a false dialectic, and everything he has done from the point of his career to now is essentially positioning himself as some fighter when he's actually a fake fighter. He's part of the establishment, entrenched in it. And the unfortunate thing is that quote unquote medical freedom movement thinks he's fighting for them, and he's not. Now, we've done a lot of work exposing him. In fact, when I exposed him pretty relentlessly, he did a blog post attacking me, right? And if we can go into it deeper, but this guy is completely part of the establishment. He supports, he has not fundamentally changed anything right now, Jesse. If you really want to change anything, you have to go after the PBMs, the pharmacy broker managers, and the GPOs, two entities which are the middlemen, the dark sort of behind the curtain middlemen who control the flow of supply of drugs and all sorts of equipment and services to and from hospitals. And that, until that back is broken, which is legalized corruption, nothing's going to change. So everything Kennedy's doing is sort of throwing crumbs to the masses to act as though he's changing something. And in that sense, it's worse than what was before, because people think change is occurring, when in fact what he's doing is consolidating power for Big Pharma, big hospitals, as never before. That's what's fundamentally taking place.
Thank you for sharing that, because I remember, and I think we all do, when the CDC director, for example, would offer a health advisory, the nation would stop and pay attention to the credibility of the CDC advisor, because the CDC advisor was on the forefront, if you will, of diseases that needed to be controlled that could impact the general populace of the American people. I remember, PL, when the HHS secretary was so cautious in their words and in their language, because they echo the sentiments of the scientists in the department and the doctors and the clinicians to keep the American people healthy and to keep them safe. But to Dr. Shiva's point, the politicization, if you will, of the Secretary of Health and Human Services, the consolidation of the healthcare industry in terms of Big Pharma, who are the primary beneficiaries, it's almost like a bait and switch. The secretary is entertaining us over here, when this swarm that Dr. Shiva is talking about is actually robbing the bank over here. Dr. De Silva?
Yes, so the only question that people need to ask, without going into too much of intricacies, is why are there medicines more expensive here in the United States than in Canada or in Europe, also industrialized Western countries?
What's the answer to that, PO? Why? The PBMs, all the middlemen that are handling?
It's the middlemen, yeah.
It's the middlemen. I mean, the game is fixed, and we are the suckers who got to pay. So, I mean, It's just unreal how much of load, you know, that the American people are actually carrying without, you know, protesting, without revolting against this unfathomable. I mean, it's just so unfair what they're doing. They talk about an American dream and all this yada 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 yada, but actually it's a fixed game where the poor people are getting impoverished and the rich people, the 1%, are getting richer and richer every day.
Dr. Shiva, you know that you've been on our program before, and we try to leave the last 2 minutes of the program for a word of hope. Dr. Shiva Ayyadare is the inventor of the email, and he's also a candidate for U.S. president and polymath, who holds 4 degrees from MIT and is a world-renowned systems scientist. Dr. Shiva, we have about 2 minutes before the close of our show. Would you like to offer our viewers and the country a word?
Yeah, just to clarify, you know, we're running for president, but in Massachusetts in 2026, we're running as an independent for Senate, Jesse.
Oh, okay. I do apologize for that. I'll have to
update. No worries. No, we're doing both. The broader thing is for president. By the way, we got on the ballot when we ran last time in 14 states, and that's never occurred before. A naturalized citizen breaking, you know, Article 2, Section 1, and really enforcing, asserting the 14th Amendment. We can talk about that, which is all citizens are created equal. But none of the news media covered it, which is quite fascinating. But anyway, the opportunity I think we have, given where we're at, is to build these bottoms-up movements. And anyone running for office should not run for office or redefine what victory means. If they can run for office and address these fundamental issues, and they can really raise consciousness, to me, that's a win, whether you actually win at the ballot box or not. And we've done that. And I think there's an opportunity now to win and raise consciousness. And I think that's where we're at, because as you brought up in some of these states, people are starting to look. But just because they go from right to left doesn't mean that's a victory. It is essentially reflecting the fact that people are looking for serious change. And I don't think in 2026 or in the near future, we should offer people just go from left to right or right to left. We should offer people these fundamental ideas about it is movements, it is workers uniting, working people uniting, that's going to liberate us. So I think we have a huge opportunity, Jesse.
I look forward to having you back on our show. P.L. De Silva has been our very special regular contributor. Dr. Shiva Ayyadare, our very special guest.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training, because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis, into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud,
You don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you, on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine. But I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin.
On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering: electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosol, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light. Learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.